Our passage of Scripture this morning is Matthew 6, and I'll read verses 19 through 34. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. This is a sermon. As I studied it, I thought I needed to preach first to myself, and it's especially true since I just bought a new house, and a much bigger house. When my mom first passed away, I told my brothers that I would likely buy her house and move in there. And shortly after that, my daughter Elizabeth contacted me and said, oh, you're going to buy mom's house. We're thinking of moving down there, and we'd like to move in with you and change the house. We're going to, it's two bedrooms. As big as it is, it's just two bedrooms. So they wanted to change the house so there'd be more than two bedrooms. And then I thought, too, about how far it was from the church. It's not far to go and visit mom. It never was. But it was kind of far driving back and forth. I was taking care of Pierre till I brought him to my house. And so I thought it was too small, too, for me. And Elizabeth is expecting her fourth child now, a baby girl. And then also I thought I was always dreaming of a house where I could, have the church over. And especially now when I look at this, and they're changing a lot of stuff. I haven't even looked at the fellowship hall. Last week it looked like they were doing something in there. And I've invited at times the WIC group to come to my house. And I even bought all those red chairs, which they've had some use sometimes. We used them at Lurleen's house, and we've used them, people have borrowed them from me. But we've never used them at my house. The elders have met at my house, and the men have met at my house, but the ladies group has never met at my house. And I know part of that is it's really probably too small. Well, it's not anymore. It won't be anymore. And so I thought, this is great for ministry. And I even ordered another pulpit. So I have a little pulpit there, and I already got that. It's already over there, even though I don't have any other furniture over there. I have a pulpit. And actually, I have a little chair that I brought there just to sit. But I thought, perfect for my family. And I was blessed to get it because another person was trying to get it. And they might have only not got it because of the COVID, and they weren't able to get their money. But immediately, you know, somebody had put in an offer, and I thought I wasn't getting it. So I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I was looking at houses even as far as Arcadia. And I thought, well, I could have a house. I even talked to the elders, Dr. Grosskid. Well, both elders are here. They can tell you how I told them the least expensive houses and the biggest houses are in Arcadia, and they're so inexpensive I could afford one there and I can still drive here, and it can be bigger even than the ones here. It was even bigger than the one I got. But this is perfect. And then I thought, it's all this. And I did. I got my dream house. It's beyond what I ever thought I would live in. I never sought to live in a house like this. And the other day I was driving to do something over there, and it was raining, and I saw a deer in the backyard. And I'm not used to seeing deer here in Northport, but there was a deer in the backyard. And then I looked in the corner of my eye after the deer ran off. There was a peacock in the front yard. So I haven't seen another peacock or deer since then, but it was kind of interesting. I never knew peacocks were out here in the wild in Northport, but they are. But here, my first point is, watch your heart. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, which I kind of did, like that house, you could say, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And one of the things, when long time ago when I was struggling, I stayed at a house of a friend who had a big house. And I lived there for a while, you know, rent free. And I thought I'd like a house like that someday if God ever did it, so I could do the same thing for somebody else. About laying up treasures for heaven, Jesus did not, you could say. Matthew 8:20. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had no house. He did not marry. He never had any physical children. I believe, you know, he called his apostles little children sometimes. That was one of the things he said. But they weren't his physical children. They were spiritual children. He had them, but he had no treasure on earth. He laid up no treasure on earth. And missionaries are often called to such a life. Not so much nowadays, because the mission agencies really make sure that the missionaries are well cared for, which there's nothing wrong with that. But missionaries have been called to such a life and still are. Amy Carmichael said, the vows of God are on me. I may not stay to play with shadows or pluck earthly flowers till I my work have done and have rendered up account. And when she said that, she was talking mostly about marriage. She had a right to be married just like everybody does, but she felt God was calling her not to be, and to live the life of a humble missionary. And she did find a home and she did find children, but it was in India and the children weren't hers. And she gave up everything to follow Jesus. However, Jesus' follower, Peter, did have a house and he did have a family. We read about this in Matthew 8:14 and 15. It says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying sick with fever, so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served them. And so Peter had a house and a family, so the scripture doesn't condemn us having homes or even nice homes. Others who were true believers, David and Solomon, were blessed with material wealth, and yet that wealth could be a snare. It says, so Solomon, King Solomon, surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And God had blessed him with riches. Remember, Solomon did not pray for riches. They weren't on his heart. He did not seek them, but he got them anyway. It says in 2 Chronicles 1, verses 11 and 12, then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who are before you, nor shall any after you have the like. And I read this because I believe that when I move into this house, I have the right heart right now. And yet I'm asking you to pray that it'll stay the right heart. Because you look at David and Solomon, both of them started with the right heart. But it was when God blessed them, that's when they fell. David with Bathsheba and Solomon to the many wives that he had. And when you think of that, you have to watch your heart. And I will have to watch my heart more than ever. I feel it's a super blessing, and I love my house that I have now. But I think at the same time, I'm not supposed to love this house. I'm supposed to love Jesus, and He has to be first, and He has to be number one, and I need to use the house rather than love the house and use it for Him and for His glory. And that means you are all welcome anytime you want to come. You know, we could have actually, this house is big enough, we could have had the service there with the little group we have today. But I ask you to pray for my heart. And then secondly, it says, watch your eyes. And you know, when we think of this too, I'm not just asking for me, but we are all rich compared to what Jesus was. He didn't have a home at all. And we all should pray about that because we live in a nation that has a lot. But second, watch your eyes. Jesus says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now the eye, you look at something, you delight in something. That's what he's talking about here. And he's saying riches can distract us from God. They can take us from where we need to be. We sang this in that first song. That's why I've sang it. You know, I sang it last week, and I thought we'll sing it again because the song says, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. God has to be the treasure of our heart. He has to be the focus of our eyes. We should pray, be thou my vision, that God is that. As I was studying this sermon, it said not only is houses or land or money or things like this can be riches, but even other things like family and friends. And the one preacher, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who wrote a great volume on this Sermon on the Mount, he said, for preachers, your church can become a treasure to you. When you love your people a lot, he says, it's good you love your people a lot. He says, but if you start loving them more than Jesus, and you start loving them to the point where you're not willing to preach hard things to them, but you only preach blessing to them, you're taking your eye off the word. And the riches even of a congregation that loves you can choke off the word. And he scared me there because I love you guys a lot. And I hope you all love me, which I think is true. Riches, though, can lie to us and can choke off the word. It says, now he received seed among the thorns. It's he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, which You know, oftentimes, if you don't have riches, the cares of this world can destroy you, or the deceitfulness of riches. You know, in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, it says the person who has riches has a high tower. That gives them confidence that they're safe there. And yet you're never safe from God's judgment if you're living an immoral life. And so there's a deceitfulness to it that makes we think we're doing well when we may not be doing that well. Choke off the word and it becomes unfruitful. They can lead us fully away from the call of Christ. Demas was at one point a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. In Philemon, verse 24, it says, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. Notice, Demas was included among the fellow workers with Paul. Another letter, he says the same. Yet in 2 Timothy 4:10, the last letter that Paul wrote before he died, he writes this. He says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. And so Demas, one who had served with Paul for a while, failed in the end. He saw Paul was going to die, and he loved the things of this world. And Paul says he forsook him. We are called not to love the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Whatever we have in this world, we can't take with us. It's only temporary. And if we love these things more than we love God, we're lost. Our minds and our eyes are to be set on God and Christ. He is the light of a dark world. You know, it says, you know, he says the eye can be darkness, but Jesus is the light. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. And then John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I mentioned Christ being the light of the world because here Jesus speaks in Matthew 6:22 and 23. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. And the only light we have is Christ. That lamp must be lit by Christ, or else it is full of darkness. If we're following after riches, if we're going after the things of the world, if we're not following Christ, we don't have that light. For me, this means Christ must be my treasure. My house or whatever else I have are tools for serving and honoring Christ. But they're not the light. They're not my desire. Third, decide whom, what you will serve. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What gets your time, your effort, your all and all is your master. There was a song we sang in college. King Jesus is all, my all in all. I know he'll answer me when I call. If he's our all in all, he carries us through. He is what we trust. He is our everything. We should not let mammon or material things control and rule us. God needs to. And then fourthly, actually, the biggest part, verse-wise, of this passage, Jesus says, do not worry. Starting at verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. My dad's favorite song. My dad was a worrier. That was his major difficulty. You know, with me, it's eating. With my dad, it was worrying. He was constantly worrying. And most of his life, he didn't know the Lord. He was an atheist. He came to know the Lord late in life. But before he came to know the Lord, he heard this song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And it's the only song I ever heard, well, the only song that was on the radio. Sometimes my dad made up his own songs and sang them. But the only song that anybody else sung that he ever sang, and I'd hear him singing it, Don't Worry, Be Happy, and it really helped him, even before he came to know the Lord. And then when he came to know the Lord, I think he felt it in a real reality. But Christ tells us not to worry. And there's things he says not to worry about. First, food, verse 25. Drink, verse 25. And clothing, verse 25. And very few of us in America ever have to worry about whether we have those or not. We're blessed. Even the poorest among us have these things. We're not doing without them. We don't pray like Jesus said, for our daily bread, as if we don't have something in the refrigerator for tomorrow. That's what he meant when he said, pray for your daily bread. Because you didn't know what you'd get the next day, and God would provide, and God has provided abundantly for us. Why should we not worry about these things? Well, Jesus says God provides for the birds of the air, and he will provide for you. And there he talks about how they, you know, birds eat a lot for their size. You hear some people say, a bird, he or she eats like a bird, means they hardly eat anything. But birds will eat almost their weight, I think, every day. They just eat, fly from here to here to here, eating. That's all they do. They're eaters. And God provides even for them when they eat all that. Worry don't make you taller. It's this other thing he says in Matthew 6, 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You know, there's a negative point there. You're not going to get taller by worrying. There's a song that I remember, and it just popped in my mind just now. You know, it was short people. Short people have no reason to live. That's not true, but if you are short, you can't add to your height by worrying about it. And then God provides glorious clothing to the flowers. Verse 28, he says, so why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. And God provides the clothing for the flowers. Jesus repeats again in verses 31 and 32, not to worry. You know, I could go over in this in detail, but it's the same thing. He's telling you the same thing. And when you see that in Scripture, when it's repeated, he wants his children to trust in him, that he's going to provide. Now, this does not mean that we never work or that we don't pay our bills, trusting that God will pay them. I remember I had a friend. Her name was Iris. And Iris believed that God would provide for all her needs. And this is back when it was before cell phones. And she racked up a $700-some phone bill. In that day, it was a huge phone bill. And she couldn't pay it. And I remember I was there with her when she was talking to the phone company, because she made a call somehow. Maybe it was my phone she was using. And she's talking to them and she's saying, God will provide you the money. They didn't turn their phone back on. And there were times that she was in the car and ran out of gas because she thought God would provide the gas on the way, even though she was on empty. And that's not what God is saying here. But seek ye first does mean that these are the things we seek first, even before we seek our own welfare. And that's the last part of this. Seek first God's kingdom. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Things sufficient for the day is its trouble. The kingdom of God is to be a priority above our own physical needs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We see this in the Lord's Prayer. When Christ teaches us how to pray, He teaches us, you know, first, hallowed be thy name. We're to glorify God. That's our first priority in life. But then the second one is, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And we're to do God's bidding. We're to do what He wants first, to advance His kingdom. And your will be done. And then, after that, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. God will provide for us, even abundantly, if we do His will first. When we make God's kingdom our priority, other things are provided by God with His blessing. That's the last part of this chapter. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Food, clothing, shelter, tomorrow we're not to worry about. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this passage. We thank You for the things it tells us that God will bless us with if we seek first His kingdom. And Father, I pray You'd help me and each person here to seek first Your kingdom all the time. To be diligent in doing that. To be diligent in seeking and serving You. And Father, I pray especially even for myself now that I would not get distracted by things that I suddenly have that I never had before. And I just pray that You'd bless and give me wisdom in how to handle things. And Father, I pray that for each person here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 498. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, what a friend.